Michelle Franzen, the phone call between President Biden and Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu began this hour. That, according to a source familiar with the call, it is the first time both leaders are talking since Israeli airstrikes killed 7 aid workers in Gaza. ABC's Karen Travers has more.
We are told that the president today during that phone call will express his outrage and frustration over the death of those aid workers. But the thing that people will be looking for is whether something changes on what the administration is doing, whether there are any conditions attached to the assistance, military or other aid that the United States is sending to Israel, and if that causes Israel to change course.
A hearing set today for Idaho college murder suspect Brian Koberger. His attorneys are asking for a change of venue, claiming the jury pool is biased. Spring and winter storms clashing in the Northeast with heavy snow in New England and heavy rain in New York and mid-Atlantic states. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A murder victim's family says Donald Trump was lying when he told a Wisconsin audience Tuesday he met with the family of a woman killed by someone in the U.S. illegally.
He did not speak with any of us, so it was kind of shocking seeing that he had said that he had spoke with us.
Mavi Garcia was Ruby Garcia's sister. Ruby was killed in Michigan last month. Data shows undocumented immigrants are actually less likely to commit violent crimes than American citizens. Tuesday's primary election results could be a concern for the presidential candidates. President Biden and Donald Trump won in landslides, but more than 47,000 Democrats voted uninstructed, and 120,000 Republicans voted for someone else other than Trump. Biden carried the state by less than 1% in 2020. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Over 60,000 customers are without power still in the aftermath of Winter Storm Cora. Downed power lines, downed trees, and limbs are being blamed for most of the outages. At last check, there were 1,800 separate outages reported throughout Wisconsin, primarily in Brown, Marinette, Door, and Outagamie counties. WPS says they expect all power to be restored by the end of the day today. Beer has been brewed in Oshkosh privately and commercially for 175 years. Local beer expert Lee Reiherzer says there have been 21 breweries in Oshkosh over the years. Of those, 12 were started by German immigrants.
They were trained as brewers in Germany, then immigrated to America. And a lot of times they went to Milwaukee first and were brewing there. And then they came to Oshkosh, typically built breweries right on the lake.
Oshkosh Craft Beer Week is April 4th through the 14th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Brewers lose to Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers lost their first game of the season to the Minnesota Twins, the final 7-3 in favor of Minnesota. Some highlights, another home run for veteran Reese Hoskins and 20-year-old rookie Jackson Chourio, who hit his first major league home run 402 feet over the right center field fence. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
He'll remember it for sure. I'll remember it. A lot of people that are close to him, you know, will certainly remember it. Day by day, you notice more and more that Jackson belongs in the big leagues, you know what I mean?
NBA, the Bucks losing at home to the Memphis Grizzlies, 111-101. Bobby Portis says they're getting everyone's best shot right now.
Obviously, teams play us different, man. If you watch the Bucks, if you watch this team play against the Pistons tomorrow, you know, it's just different when you play us. We get everybody's best shot. It comes with the territory. Used to hunt, now hunting.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Thank you.
Spotty sprinkles are possible this afternoon as we stay stuck under mostly cloudy skies. Winds continue to be a bit feisty, gusting up to 25 miles per hour, but they'll ease by tomorrow. And guess what? The sunshine makes a return then. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Live on location, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. We are live at the Dreyfus Center here at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, in Stevens Point. Todd Alba, along with Mr. Aaron Zommer, is our producer and engineer back at the world headquarters, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. Mr. Zommer, is it snowy down there? Because we got fresh snow at Point last night.
Nope, not here. If it did snow last night, not anything sticking.
Really? Not a lot, maybe half an inch or so, but yeah. I woke up this morning at the beautiful Hampton Inn in Plover. Shout out to all those great people. Just a couple of miles. It's kind of the metro area, the Stevens Point Plover metro area here. And great folks down there at the Hampton. And came up and spending our day here at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. Joining me once again, our co-host. He joins us normally every Thursday. And he is making the tour all around the state. today's Thursday. He usually is on every Wednesday, but today is Thursday. Yes.
Every day seems like Wednesday this week.
This week
I have to spend it with you.
By the way, let me just. All right, so Trigvi Olsen, like myself, a former Republican, he is now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Is based out of our nation's capital and spending the week back here. Originally from River Falls, and we were at your alma mater yesterday, UW Eau Claire, and here we are today at Stevens Point. And let me just point out for those watching on the stream and listening, I have turned into Trigvi Olsen's staff. Now, both of us have been staff in the past to various and assorted sundry politicians. But when you get to the point where you're now staff for staff, I've reached an all new,
low.
Well, I wouldn't say low, but I mean all new point.
I was career. Your staff last night when I am not going to say the name of the hotel that I booked. I was responsible for booking hotels, and when Todd and I drove up to said hotel here in Stevens Point, we decided there is no way that we are staying in that hotel because A, there's no lights in the parking lot, and B, we were worried about bed bugs or other critters. So Todd is really in charge. He pulled an audible and said, we're finding a different hotel. So my staffing skills are bad, clearly. I was going budget.
It was great.
Went way low, bro.
It was great in La Crosse. We stayed at the beautiful Radisson and you booked that. It was great.
Yeah, and they were fantastic. They bailed us out.
Yeah.
Because there was some bad stuff cooking when we were at La Crosse, but we ended up, they bailed us out.
But things got better in Eau Claire, and it all worked out. Not every hotel is going to be great. This one wasn't that great, and we found a different one, and so it's fun.
Yeah, and as you know, I have been around the world. I have stayed in hotels in Nigeria and in rural Thailand and Burma and all kinds of places. That hotel was scary, the first one we went to, Todd.
Different than Burma. Worse than Burma.
I don't know what I was doing when I went on American Express and reserved that. Well, I'm sorry.
Listen, no, you're fine. Let's talk about something great here. We're doing our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour all week, going around the state, finding out things that are great in Wisconsin. Here in Stevens Point, one of the great things is Point Brewery and Point Soda. Here I have some of your Point Premium Black Cherry Cream Soda. I've already taken a couple of sips. This is the real stuff, Trigvy. And if you're looking, you don't have to go out of state to have great soda. Right here in Wisconsin, Point Premium Soda. Wow. Look at that.
Yes. And I will add, Todd, two things. When I was in college, one of my favorite t-shirts, because you know when you're in college in the 80s, if you're a guy, you had like three shirts that you wear on ad nauseum. One of them was Point Beer. It's not just for breakfast anymore. And
really?
I got said t-shirt because you could buy cases of Point for $3. And if you bought two cases, you got a free t-shirt that said Point Beer. It's not just for breakfast anymore. I just thought that was hilarious.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, that's the point of being in college and being in Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely. You know at Platteville where you were there, did they have like if you won the Parks and Rec or whatever, the Rec League title, you got a t-shirt?
No, I don't think
I wish I had one of those.
We were running the hill because Bo Ryan was the coach at the time. And we you took like a gym class, you ran the hill.
Yeah, and poor Bo Ryan, he was losing every time he went up to Eau Claire and ran into Mike Johnson, our guest yesterday.
Let's not talk about
All American Blue Gold. He was great. Right. And yeah. So is Chancellor Jim. But today we're at Point.
We're at Stevens Point, yes, UW Stevens Point, and our big shout out to the chancellor here, Thomas Gibson, who so graciously allowed us to come here on campus. He is at a Board of Regents meeting, as it turns out today, so wasn't able to join us, but he has been nothing but spectacular, and all the staff here as well, and we are joined right now here on set by the Director of Conference and Event Services here at UW Stevens Point. Melanie, welcome to the program. Please give us your last name, because I'm afraid I'm going to botch it, so the last name, if you'd be so kind.
Thank you. It's Seacosh. Yes, everyone batches that one. It's pretty normal.
Seacosh.
If it's any consolation, mine being Trigby, he botches my first name on a regular basis. And I'm on every Wednesday. So there's that.
Melanie, it's great to have you here. Thank you for all your hospitality. You've been really our point person here. And I just want to thank you for being so supportive and allowing us to, we're set up here. There's, for those watching the stream, you can kind of see it, the iconic seal of UW Stevens Point here in Dreyfus Center and the vibrant campus here in the heart of Wisconsin, in central Wisconsin. How long have you been a member of the staff here and the leadership at UW Stevens Point?
Yeah, I've been at UWSP for about almost 3 years now. I was in the private sector before, so a little bit of a change there, but I'm loving it.
And where did you grow up at, and where did you go to school?
I grew up in Seattle, Washington.
Wow, really?
And I went to college in central Missouri at a small private called William Woods.
Nice. Yeah. So how did you find your way, if we could ask, into central Wisconsin?
Yeah, so I met my husband down in Missouri, and he's from Stevens Point, born and raised, so ended up back here.
I think that's just...
See, that's another thing that's great about Wisconsin. Melanie might say the men in Wisconsin are one of the things that are great about Wisconsin, but also that Wisconsin attracts people like Melanie.
100%, and also, I think this just, I hear this, and you and I have heard this as we travel the state, people like yourself who've moved away, perhaps Melanie like your spouse who moved away for a while, but then said, you know what, I want to come back and contribute to my home area, my hometown, and you can leave Wisconsin, but Wisconsin never leaves you.
Exactly, and compared to other states, like where I'm from, I don't feel that draw to come back, where I don't think I could ever leave Wisconsin. We love it here.
Thank you, Melanie. I have been saying that all week. It's part of the, I say it, do I not say that every time I come on Wednesday? Yeah. I have had the chance to travel. I grew up in River Falls, have had the chance to travel around the world and live in other places around the world. And my favorite place in the entire world is the bridge over the St. Croix River, because I'm back in Wisconsin. People are what make Wisconsin great at the end of the day.
They really are. And it really is. And people like Melanie and all those great people here that make UW Stevens Point go. Tell us a little bit about your role as Director of Conference and Event Services. One of the things you said to me right away is, you know, this is a public place where people are welcome to come, have community events. It's not just for university students, although that's a large part of your mission.
Yeah, absolutely. So we host events in this building, you know, maybe 10 events a day sometimes. And they can be student organizations hosting a large event or just having their general meeting. They can be campus departments hosting a banquet or a conference. But we're also open to booking to the public, conferences, banquets, meeting spaces, summer camps, really anything. And what's fun is even when it's for the public, we're bringing in revenue for our students, but also staffing hours for our students. So our students they're on the catering team. They're on the team that sets up the event, that does our audiovisual technology. So we're able to staff a lot of students and get them opportunities to build their resume while they're in school.
Can you talk to us a little bit, Melanie, about the fact, when people come in from the community, what Trigvy and I have found, I mean, we're both products. He went to Eau Claire, I went to Richland and then Platteville, that are not just our public schools, K-12, but also our public universities are hubs for the community in which they're in. What are some of the groups that come in here? What's kind of the interaction you've had with the community, not just students, but the greater Stevens Point community?
Yeah, so I would fully agree. I mean, it is the hub for the area. We have conferences here, you know, everything from the DNR or YMCA to some of our bigger corporations in the community have their conferences here, their meetings here, because it is right in the center of the state. It's easy for everyone to get to from every side of the state, you know, at most 2 to 3 hours from anywhere. So that's a great point of it, but also like our summer camps are huge here too. We have all of our internal UWSP summer camps, but also external summer camps come here as well because, again, it's right in the middle of the state. It's easy for everyone to get to.
Yeah, we have Century Insurance, of course, is located here. Trigvy and I drove by their big headquarters. Of course, a very nice golf course as well, by the way.
It's great. You could walk from that hotel to Century Insurance and file your claims that we didn't stay at. Thank God we found that Hampton Inn.
Trigvy is a little salty.
The Hampton Inn and Plover, huge shout out to those
people. Yeah, great. They got us right in.
You know, so I want to ask you a question. So when I think about Stevens Point, right, like all the guys I knew who were going to go study biology or conservation sort of related stuff, everybody went to Stevens Point. I also know that there were a bunch of guys back in my day, if you wanted to play hockey for a team that was good, you'd come here to Stevens Point. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit, though, about, you know, you're from outside of Wisconsin. You now make Wisconsin a home and the place where you raise your family. Talk a little bit about sort of the role that Stevens Point plays in, you know, this part of the state, which, you know, I used to deer hunt not far from here with my dad for years. Talk about the role that Stevens Point plays in that part of Wisconsin, because conservation and the state's beauty is a central part of what makes the state great.
Yeah, and I think you'll see that too. Like you said, so many people come here for conservation, and now the DNR hosts all kinds of meetings and conferences here because I am sure a vast majority of them went to school here as well.
Right.
But yeah, we have, I mean, a beautiful area. We actually live out in Iola, so about 30 minutes from here. You know, and that area too, just beautiful land, lots of hunting, lots of fishing available all over this whole general Stevens Point community type area. So it's great to see the conservation happening and keeping up with all of the different outdoor activities we can do. And I'm glad you mentioned hockey. That is still one of our, our big things. One of my staff actually runs our ticketing site. And so she does all the ticketing for the hockey events. And they're fun. They're wild. And they're always in the playoffs every year.
That is true.
And that brings the university together, right? I mean, students like to rally around their team. But also, again, the community comes in and it's that interaction between the students and the community.
Absolutely. Yeah, our hockey games always have, you know, while our student section is filled to the max every time, we also have a huge community following that comes to those games, and it's so fun.
Cool. And to that end, we're going to be at Gus's Bar for anybody who's listening here in central Wisconsin. Todd and I are going to buy the first beers or sodas, and we'll get some cheese curds.
Yeah.
And you're welcome, Melanie. I hope you can show up. Bring your
six
husband.
6 to 7:30.
6 to 7:30 tonight.
Anybody wants to come on down? Students, community, whoever it is, can come on down.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Beautiful Wisconsin, nature's wonderland. In all my dreams I see.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Radio Network, the Todd Almost Show, on location at the Dreyfus Center here at beautiful E.W. Stevens Point. Mr. Sommers, did you go to a yard sale and get a 78 album to play? Well, what the heck is that?
Basically, yeah. I mean, I found this on YouTube, basically the equivalent of digging through a record crate and finding something you never would have expected. It's A Beautiful Wisconsin by Ken Griffin. This is from 1949.
It sounds like it.
You know, how about the beer barrel polka next time?
Okay, sounds
like
good.
That.
All right, yeah. Very good. Thank
that's
you.
That's a lot
we
better.
We are here. We are on location at University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. We are talking with Melanie Sikosh. She is the Director of Conference and Event Services here at EWSP. Also, Trevi Olson, Senior Advisor at Lincoln Project, joins us all week as our guest co-host for the week as we travel around the state, finding out what makes Wisconsin great. Part of that is the vibrancy of a campus like this. You're looking out the window here, right out onto campus, and it's a beautiful area. Behind the camera, we have all these students going back and forth, probably getting some lunch right now. But Melanie, it's I guess Trigby. What do you want? What do you?
We have Lee Dreyfus.
We have Lee Sherman Dreyfus. Yes. Did you? Did anybody when you applied for the job here? Did anybody kind of sit down and say you have to know the history of Lee Sherman Dreyfus or not really?
No. I should probably read the plaque.
I'll give you a little tidbit. When Lee Dreyfus ran for governor, his slogan was LSD is the dope for me. How cool is that? Lee Dreyfus, I knew Lee Dreyfus when I was a kid.
Lee Sherman Dreyfus, LSD. Yeah.
But Lee Sherman Dreyfus was a really cool dude.
He was. The chancellor here for a while and then ran for governor. And the reason he wore the red vest is when he was chancellor. And he would tell people, when I walk through campus here, I want all the students to know who the chancellor is, because if they have a problem or they want to talk to me, I want them to make sure they know who I am. And so he always wore a red vest around campus here. And then when he ran for governor, he just kept that up, and it was his symbol. It was his calling card, yeah. Lee Sherman Dreyfus. So,
yeah. By the way, the name of the bar is Goose, not Gus's.
Thank you to Melanie, a local.
I am sorry to the people at Goose. We can't wait to join you tonight. And Melanie, thanks for correcting me.
Goose from 6 until 7:30 in Stevens Point here. Come on down and join us. The first drink is on us and some cheese curds as well. Melanie, talk a little bit more, if you would, please, about what's going on here at campus for those people listening across the state. We also, thanks to Trivi's followers and Lincoln Projects, have some national viewers as well. But people who might not know a lot about UW-Stevens Point or what the mission is, what are some new things going on, I see a lot of construction. What should people know about UW-Stevens Point?
Yeah, I would say it's just a really nice state school. It's a nice size. It's got some great programs. Like we're talking about conservation. We have all of the different College of Natural Resources programs, but also athletics, fine arts, business, a whole variety. But it's just a nice kind of hometown feel. Lots of construction. Like you said, we've got the library being built right behind us here. That's a really exciting addition. A brand new library should be up and running, I think, in about a year and a half.
Wow.
So very exciting. Otherwise, in this building, it's all about the students, right? It's our student center. So we have all kinds of things going on, everything from bingo nights to drag shows to banquets to award ceremonies to movie showings. I mean, every day is something new and always busy, but super fun.
And super diverse. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what it is in the community. There's something for everyone here. And I think one of the things that, you know, Trigby and I knew from going to state schools, Eau Claire and Platteville respectively, but I would think the same holds true here at Stevens Point. The Wisconsin idea, right? The borders of our university are the borders of our state. And give us your sense, having been here now 3 years, you said, in this position. My sense is there's a lot of students, both you would say, quote unquote, normal college age, 18 to 24, 25, but also returning adults wanting to come back and finish up degrees. And those folks might not go and get a higher education if this university wasn't here, if they had to travel to Madison, if they had to travel to Milwaukee, they might not take this opportunity.
Absolutely. And actually, I'm the advisor for our veterans club. So I work with a lot of veterans who are typically all non-traditional older students coming back. And, you know, they have families and lives and things going on, but we're local, so they can come here, which is an awesome opportunity for them.
You said something very important, and I don't want to drag you into politics. We're not here to do politics right in this segment. But what you just said, I think, is really important for people when they hear the term DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. That includes people like our veterans.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it should, right? It includes everyone, not just what your mind instantly thinks of, but all different marginalized populations.
Yeah. Are there any specific programs for like scholarships or for study, that sort of thing for veterans here?
Yeah, we have a veteran services coordinator, so he co-advises the club with me, and he does all of the VA benefits, the statewide veteran benefits, but also any scholarships, emergency funds, grants, things like that. And then we work together with the club, so there's actually an office space for the veterans, and they can spend time in there together, and we do different programming together as well.
I'm just such a fan. I never served myself, but where I had the opportunity to work for a member of Congress and did veterans affairs, military affairs, and anybody who has worn the uniform, who has served our country, they're heroes to me. And I think the least we could do is help them when they get out. Programs like this that help them pursue their dreams, because they were there for us, I just think is so important. And thank you for all you do for helping our veterans.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm happy too. My husband's a veteran. So nice. To me, it hits home.
So one of the things that we've been talking about as it relates to universities and then public education in general, right? Like, there's some great high schools and school districts in central Wisconsin, and they have some great rivalries. Like, I think you show up at a Wisconsin Rapids Stevens Point game in football or basketball or anything, you know, both sides are going to bring it. But then the university sort of sits on top of that. And, you know, talk a little bit about having lived in other places about, you know, do you think that's something that's kind of unique to Wisconsin, sort of how that's they seamlessly integrate? Because I don't think that's the same everywhere.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely not. We had big rivalries in high school growing up in the Seattle area, but, you know, there were really two or three main colleges in Washington State. It wasn't, we didn't have the smaller University of Wisconsin type schools that we have here in Washington State. It was really the University of Washington or Washington State University. Like, there weren't many options. So it's nice to see that there are more options, but also those options lead to like a different vibe or feel. So each student can really pick what they prefer, what degree they prefer, what feeling or what feels like home for them.
Yeah. The makeup of the student population, what percentage of them come from sort of central Wisconsin versus other places in Wisconsin versus outside? Do you have any idea about that?
I really don't.
Well, that's fine. We'll check that out.
So it was interesting to us. I would guess Stevens
Point. About 1 minute left here.
I would guess Stevens Point's a lot like Eau Claire. You know, yesterday we learned about how much Eau Claire draws from both in-state and out-state. That's one of the great things about state schools, too.
Yeah, and the fact that you have a specialized program like, you know, conservation, other things here. But you also get a liberal arts, small L, education here as well. And the diversity of this campus. As I just walk around and look at folks, I mean, it's an opportunity to find out, hey, I can have a conversation with somebody who's not like me and learn something about myself.
Absolutely.
So, Melanie Asikosh, thank you so much. Director of Conference and Event Services here at University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. You have been an absolute fantastic host. We thank you for everything and look forward to you in the next hour and a half.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Stay tuned. Luke Mathers.
Thursday on Busted Pencils, Martin Atkins from the Post-Punk Museum.
Music and education?
Busted Pencils, every weeknight from 6 to 7 p.m.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The headache continues for Wisconsin dairy producers because of low milk prices tied to massive cheese production. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Thursday. Dairy agent Ryan Yonkman with Everegg says the low Class 3 milk price is driving herd dispersals, which he doesn't anticipate to slow down.
Yeah, we're told through some of the bigger auction houses, they're booked out through about November. So the U.S. dairymen, specific to some major regions, continues to be under pressure, specific really to the Class 3 market when we consider how cheap it is. And so that is something right now that looks like a trend that's not about to slow down, especially as these prices continue to linger. I mean, here we are now walking into April, and we're still talking about Class 3 at sub-$15 milk.
Ryan Yonkman along with us, a dairy agent and broker with Everegg. We'll take a look at our midday milk prices after this.
Research, promotion, and education, that's where your Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars are being invested. Adam Kask is the executive director of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, fresh off a trip to Georgia, learning more about how soybeans are used in firefighting foam.
Yeah, that was down in Dalton, Georgia. We saw a demonstration of a new firefighting product, actually a foam made out of soybean meal. And the whole intention is to replace the current firefighting foam on the market right now is made with PFAS chemicals, the forever chemicals that we're hearing so much about. So our parent organization, the United Soybean Board, has been working on this project for at least a couple of years now. So down in Dalton, Georgia, we had the opportunity along with several other states and a lot of firefighters from some of the different soybean producing states to go down there and see a test of this product. It actually worked very well.
Adam Kask, executive director of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, talking about soy-based firefighting foam. Find more at wisoybean.org.
Today, the Class 3 milk price is recovering. Again, Class 3 milk goes to make cheese. The April contract is up 3 cents at $15.45 a hundredweight. The May contract is up 16 cents at $15.80 a hundredweight. And the June Class 3 milk contract is up 14 cents at $16.46. Grain markets are mixed. Corn is the only thing showing strength midday on a Thursday. Cash corn is up a penny and a half at 4.33 and a quarter. December new crop corn is up a penny at 4.72 and a quarter. Cash beans are down 2¾ cents at 11.79 and a half. November new crop beans are also down 2¾ cents at 11.82 a bushel. Cash wheat is down a quarter of a cent at 5.55¾. July new crop wheat is down a penny and three quarters, trading at 5.70 and a half. Whether you're working in the tractor or the barn, don't forget that you can listen to us around the clock through our smartphone app. You can download that for free at thefarmwi.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Spotty sprinkles are possible this afternoon as we stay stuck under mostly cloudy skies. Winds continue to be a bit feisty, gusting up to 25 miles per hour, but they'll ease by tomorrow. And guess what? The sunshine makes a return then. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
Matt and Air on Air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved Winged Thingas.
Winged Thingas! That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, Winged Thingas.
The Winged Thingas.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location at the Dreyfus Center at the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point campus, a beautiful campus that it is. We have the state, not the state, the campus seal behind us, and students walking out there behind us, and students in front of us, behind you, and the camera if you're watching the stream, getting some lunch as well. We thank Melanie Sikosh for stopping by, the Director of Conference and Event Services here at UW Stevens Point. Absolutely fantastic. And Trigvi Olson joins me live all week here on location as well. Senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, a graduate of the University of Wisconsin Eau Claire. And we bring on another graduate of the University of Wisconsin system. He is Luke Mathers. He is our executive producer here at Civic Media. And Lukester, you're a Badger.
I am a Badger. I am.
Yeah, right. And it's kind of cool. We've been to, well, we were going to be at UW La Crosse, but apparently there was a cooking show going on, so we couldn't go there. So
what kind of cooking show was going on? I thought those got canceled at UW La Crosse.
Well, I think the cooking shows are going on. I think the host got canceled.
Okay.
So, but we had a lovely time at the Radisson, and then we went to Eau Claire, and my gosh, I mean, if you great people up there, Chancellor was fantastic, and then we come here to Stevens Point today, and again, just some great hospitality and great folks here at Stevens Point. But Luke, get your opinion. You know, the University of Wisconsin system has come under attack from a lot of different angles right now. But what we're really trying to focus on are the value of a public education here in the state of Wisconsin, not just K-12, but university as well. As you look back as a graduate at UW-Madison, what was your big takeaway? What did a public education within the UW system give you?
Oh, I don't even know if I can put that into words that well. It's so much. So much. Like, the University of Wisconsin, all three of us boys in the Mathers family went to UW, and when my dad talks about how proud he was to be able to send all three of us to the crown jewel of the UW system as a whole is tremendous, and he is a product of UW La Crosse and UW Milwaukee, as is my mother of UW Milwaukee, and the amount of value and everything that it brought to the family is just, he's very proud of his three Badgers. My sister got her master's at UW Milwaukee, so he's very proud of her too. Probably more proud of her than the rest of us, because she went into his field of nursing. But all of us, my entire family, going through the UW system, it's tremendous. It's where I met my wife. Mm. I have lifelong friends. It set me up for the place where I am today in my life, because of the critical thinking and the resources that it provided through the education, the world-renowned education that I received here in Madison.
Trigvi, I know it's similar for you, but for me, you know, to see my godsons go to UW-Madison, I mean, that's just, I never had the academic acumen that Luke did, or just to go to Madison. So I ended up, and Platteville is fine, but you know, to see my godsons, I can relate to Luke's dad. And he likes to remind me I'm almost as old as Luke's dad. But
My dad's up there. Up there in age.
You're almost as old as my dad.
The pride of a UW system education.
Yeah, I mean, you know, clearly Scott Walker is very proud of the fact that his son went there. If you read the Christmas cards, not so much if you read his Twitter feed. So, I mean, yes, obviously, you know, having a child go to the UW-Madison, because it's one of the best academic institutions in the world. That's the reality. So, you know, the reality is parents have a sense of pride about the University of Wisconsin and the University of Wisconsin system. And, you know, the sad part is we have people who have that pride as individuals but won't speak that, and in fact speak the opposite, bag on our UW system and on Madison when they think it's politically expedient. And that really is one of the points we're trying to make with this tour.
Yeah, you Luke? Know?
Yeah, it's tough to see folks out there that love the Badgers when it comes to football and basketball, and then use it as the political boogeyman of, oh, those liberal schools are indoctrinating your children, but I'm still going to send my kids there. It's a very weird political dynamic to hear, and the just juxtaposition that it provides when you truly take a look at it baffles me. I don't know if it baffles other
folks,
too.
It's a crock. I can't use the other word because I'm not on a podcast, but it's a crock.
Honestly,
here's the great thing about talking to people across Wisconsin. Everybody knows what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
They know, you know, that is another good thing about Wisconsin. People in Wisconsin typically understand when they're seeing a fraud.
Yeah.
You might fool them for a little while, but eventually they get it. They're smart people.
They are. Speaking of a fraud, the Trumpster was in Green Bay in Wisconsin this week. I think Mr. Zomers has a little bit of a we played the clip yesterday when Trump...
You mean the one where he lied about the honesty and integrity of the people of Wisconsin?
Yes.
Yeah, that one.
Saying that he won the election. Of course, we all know that's been proven false time and again in courts of law and other places as well.
And by Ron Johnson, went off the record.
And by former Speaker of the House Paul Ryan saying definitively...
And Robin Voss.
Right.
Oh, wait. And Richland Center native Andrew Hitt, who was the chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. I'm waiting for the Shim Sham Man, though, to come out and say it, but I guess he can't.
He
likes to be on the stage.
He just got a shout out from Trump the other day in Green Bay, so I don't know. He'd have to make a pretty hard U-turn
loved that
at this point.
Yeah.
Well, even the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty was saying that they did a review and they were like, there's no fraud there.
You know you're on the wrong side when even those folks disagree with you. if you're hearing the background noise here, there's a table being moved near us, so I apologize for that.
Oh, I thought the Zamboni was clearing through. You guys aren't on the ice rink?
You know what? Stephen's point is a hockey power, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. I just thought it was the Zamboni, clearing the ice between the
that's
periods.
Good.
I have some firsthand knowledge of that, unfortunately.
Oh, sorry. I did not know of old wounds, so I apologize if that was salt. So I apologize.
It's okay.
Did you play here, Tricky?
No.
Or not? I mean, did you ever play on this ice here?
Oh, yeah. In high school and growing up as a kid. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Stephen, Central Wisconsin has serious hockey tradition.
They really do.
They put guys in the NHL. Like, they're the real deal.
That's great. Yeah. The toughness. The Wisconsin toughness, see?
Yeah. Yeah, Wisconsin. Yeah,
so anyway, the Trumpster was in Green Bay this week, and yes, he was claiming he won the 2020 election. We all know that is a lie. That is false information.
And he's insulting the people of Wisconsin by thinking they're dumb enough to believe it. Him saying that is a New York guy coming here thinking we're a bunch of rubes.
Yes.
But you know, the last time that happened. Yeah, well, you know what, though? As I like to point out, you want to know how great the UW system is? University of Wisconsin grad Brian Gutekunst pretty much stuck it to these New Yorkers with the Aaron Rodgers trade. So there's that. That's for tomorrow's topic.
We'll more on that later, but we'll be in Green Bay tomorrow. So here's another cut from the Trumpster in Green Bay earlier this week, talking about undocumented folks and his thoughts on that. Here's the Trumpster from earlier in Green Bay.
Although, quick note of clarification, this is from the prior speech he had in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh, same day
but
in Grand
yes,
Rapids.
Same day
in
Grand Rapids.
The 22-year-old nursing student in Georgia who was barbarically murdered by an illegal alien animal. The Democrats say, please don't call them animals. They're humans. I said, no, they're not humans. They're not humans. They're animals. And Nancy Pelosi told me that. She said, please don't use the word animal, sir, when you're talking about these people. I said, I'll use the word animal because that's what they are. I'll never forget my vow to her.
So that's how we're going to play that. I just want to make sure people heard it on the record. And I know it's disturbing to have to hear these things over again, but I think it's helpful in the way, because if we say, well, this is what they said, then people can say, well, that's not what they said. So I think it's better to actually have the actual cut so people can hear it in the original German, so to speak. But I think Trump saying that kind of stuff is, Luke, completely unhelpful. And it's obviously simply not true. And one of the reasons I wanted to play it is here in central Wisconsin, whether you've got cranberry growers, whether you've got potato growers, agriculture is, like many parts of Wisconsin, huge in central Wisconsin. And the fact of the matter is, without both documented and, quite frankly, undocumented workers, Wisconsin's ag industry would collapse. And a lot of these people who are here, either documented or undocumented, have children who are born here who are American citizens, who are going to the public schools next to other people's kids, and to dehumanize people in that way, I just find disturbing and quite frankly, Luke, dangerous.
Oh, it's extremely dangerous. And the rise that we see in political violence around language like this, and just the green light that the former president gives to his supporters and even folks that are just getting it in passing through, they're not paying that close attention. It gives a green light and a permission structure to bring out the worst nature in folks. And so it's disturbing. It's disgusting. But unfortunately, I think he sees a political lane where he believes it's advantageous to him, because we've seen since 2016, there are some folks out there that like that green light. They like being able to express the things that used to be the unspoken aspect of daily life. And for him to come to Green Bay this week, or as Aaron pointed out, say comments like that in Grand Rapids in Michigan, it's going to be very telling about who comes out to support this man come November. But I think the interesting takeaway that's not being as discussed since his visit on Tuesday is the fact that he didn't even crack in an uncontested primary 80% of the Republican vote here in Wisconsin. That needs to be talked about more, because I think it's the language is driving folks away as well. But the permission structure that it grants the folks that are supporting him is scary.
Trigby?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I think about Niemöller, the Lutheran pastor who had the whole famous quote, first they came for the socialist and I said nothing because I wasn't a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists. I said nothing because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews and then they came for me. Like, the reality is, you know, you stole my line. It was better in its original German. Here's the thing that people have to understand, and I say this over and over again. The election is going to be decided, whether Donald Trump is back in the White House or not, in the state of Wisconsin. The people of Wisconsin are going to make the choice for the nation. And this is our generation's moment to do what the boys who stormed the beaches in Normandy did, to do what the founding fathers did. This is our generation's moment where democracy is on the line. And people in Wisconsin, this is going to say a lot about who we are if you allow this to happen.
I want to pick up on Luke's point. You do a lot of research with Lincoln Project around the country on this. To Luke's point, the fact that Trump couldn't even crack 80% here in Wisconsin, what does that say to you and the trends you're seeing?
I mean, it says what I've talked about before and what we know. There's two kinds of conservatives, Republicans and former Republicans. There's Red Dawn conservatives who tend to be older, more Gen X, late boomers, and there's Dobbs dads, and they are conservatives. In the Gen X, the Red Dawns believe in sort of a Reagan-esque conservatism, and they know that Donald Trump saying things like this about immigrants, or that Vladimir Putin's a genius for invading Ukraine, is antithetical to their conservatism. And the Dobbs dads understand they didn't want people on the left telling them about what to do with their guns, still don't, what to do you know, with other facets of their life, but by God, they don't want a bunch of theocrats or people like Donald Trump telling their daughters what they can and can't do.
Yeah. Luke, on the good side of things, we're going to talk about this a little bit more in our next segment, but the good news this morning, broken on Pat Kreitlow's show, Up North News Radio here on Civic Media, we had Dr. Kristen Lyerly, a frequent guest on several programs across Civic Media, announcing that she is all in on the 8th Congressional District race up there. It is an open seat with Mike Gallagher not running again. What's your knee-jerk reaction on Dr. Lyerly getting into that race?
I think it's going to make a very exciting race up there in the 8th CD, the 8th Congressional District this fall. I think there's been a lot of talk about how close the presidential race is going to be, not only here in Wisconsin, but across the country. But I think the excitement for a lot of those down ballot races, like voters looking forward to having the ability to send somebody new to Congress, I think that's going to have a huge impact this fall too.
Talk more about the 8th Congressional District and also what's grinding Luke's gears. It's the Title Ball Show live from Stevens Point on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at WGBW.FM. Your news just for the Green Bay area. I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News.
Fabulous Farm Bay PM Yankee here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the Talk of Green Bay.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Welcome back to the Title Ball Show, live on location at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, in the beautiful Dreyfus Center, named after Lee Sherman Dreyfus, a great governor here in the state of Wisconsin. We are pleased to be here in the beautiful campus, and Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, my co-host all week, traveling around the state. What makes Wisconsin great? Well, Luke Mathers is one of the things that makes Wisconsin great. He is our executive producer here at Civic Media and joins us from the world headquarters back in Madison for a special Thursday Tangents with Luke Mathers edition here. Luke, right before we're talking about the 8th Congressional District race up there in the Green Bay area, current congressperson, Congressman Mike Gallagher, say not only is he not going to run again, but he actually is resigning here coming up on April 19th. And by choosing the 19th, it means that there will be no special election this summer to fill that seat temporarily. I feel that that was intentional to give Democrats a fighting shot because there's not going to be an incumbent. It's going to be an open, true open seat. Dr. Lyerly is fantastic. She's been on several programs across Civic Media. And with, it's a plus 16 Republican seat up there. But I think it's a unique year. I think having an OBGYN in a year when women's reproductive rights is going to be front and center, I really think she has a shot.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tremendously interesting to see that as the doctor made on her announcement on Up North News Radio this morning. Janet Protasiewicz had a much more narrow gap in last spring's Supreme Court race here in Wisconsin than what that congressional district's historical makeup was. So as Trigvi was pointing out, the Dobbs dads out there as well are going to be voting in this election. It's going to be very interesting to see what this is going to be only the second election on these congressional maps. We found out very, very close to the 2022 race that these were going to be the congressional maps, and there wasn't a whole lot of time put into folks figuring out whether or not they wanted to run. And so there was a number of uncontested races across the state of Wisconsin because of the gerrymandering. Plus, there's not a ton of super competitive districts on these maps. There are, I believe, half of them are not competitive. It's going to be interesting to see if a new candidate, no incumbent, is going to make this quote-unquote non-competitive seat more competitive.
Trigby, you know races like this better than anybody else I know. It's a heavy R district, but do you think that this could be competitive given the type of quality candidate? And by the way, Dr. Lyerly is going to join us tomorrow in Green Bay, and we're looking forward to having her on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, what I would say to the doctor or any candidate who's running, particularly on the Democratic side in a state like Wisconsin, Republicans build narratives. Mm-hmm. Democrats have a tendency to try and take policies and communicate different policies to every single constituency, depending on what their interest is. The key for candidates, quite frankly, Democrats who are going to run and win, is to build narratives of what really is at stake here. If you that district is more Republican than Democratic, but there are a lot of Republicans who are disenfranchised because the the current MAGA Republican Party, and it will be a MAGA candidate running against her, if she can convince those right-of-center kind of voters, the Dobbs dads and the Red Dobbs, that what she is standing for is congruent with their conservative values, even if they disagree on specific policies, she has a real shot. And, yeah. And quite frankly, Democrats around the state, you know, back when we were coming up, people like Bob Jelk represented districts north of Highway 8 to win north of Highway 8. Yeah. You have to be saying to these guys, people like me, who, I mean, I'm a gun guy, saying to me, listen, I don't want the left telling me what kind of shotgun I can own, but I'll be damned if I want the right telling my daughters what they can and can't do. Yeah. It's antithetical to who and how I see myself and how they do.
I think I've met her a couple of times. So Luke knows her well. She's a very impressive person, and I think she's going to be an impressive candidate. She really, I think, speaks to all Wisconsinites in a way that I think will make her competitive. And to your point, I mean, you've got Roger Roth, former state senator, Andre, as I call him, Block Jacques Chirac, the state senator up there, the first district. And then you've got Alex Bruisewitz, this
Bruiser.
Kid, the Bruiser, who grew up, I guess, born in Ripon, but he's been living down at Mar-a-Lago or near it in Florida. He flew up to Wisconsin on the Trump jet. I think this MAGA kid could be the nominee for Republican.
I mean, he could. And what she's got to do is she's got to point out to those 70,000 people in Wisconsin, I don't know how many of them were in the 8th Congressional District, who voted for Nikki Haley, why her values and her approach, not the individual policies, don't get bogged down in the policies. Get bogged down in the right and wrong that, you know, Ronald Reagan understood and Joe Biden understands and I understand that what's happening in Ukraine, we know that the Russians have been doing this and they would be doing it to Ashwaubenon if they could. And we have to stand strong that we don't want the right in or the left in Wisconsin coming and taking people's shotguns any more than we want them coming and taking birth control from college kids.
Yeah. Look, change gears quickly. You got a couple minutes left here. Trigvy has been grinding his gears over hotels. Have you had a bad experience in a hotel? What's grinding your gears here on a Thursday?
Well, kind of in that similar vein, what's grinding my gears is the Milwaukee Bucks not being able to take care of business on the road. And so I don't know if it's their hotels that need to be taken a look at, but it's troubling. And so, yeah, I don't know. Apparently we've got to take a look at these hotels the Bucks may be staying at, or the equipment managers are getting the blame. I don't know.
It seems like there's been a lot of, and you follow the Bucks 100 times more than I do. It seems like the Bucks have been injured a lot this year. It seems every other game, half the team's sitting out because they got a sore ankle.
Yeah, last night was weird. I think there was a lot of load management, and then Giannis had everything put on his back, and then he started having some hamstring issues towards the end of the game, and unfortunately couldn't get a home victory against the Grizzlies last night. But yeah, it's there's only, I think, 8 games left of the season, and there's hopefully going to be a lot more after that for playoffs, but it's definitely a load management portion of the year and trying to keep these guys healthy.
One of the things that makes Wisconsin great are sports. I've been traveling all over. The Brewers are still up on the screen.
Didn't they lose to a team yesterday?
Yes. Well, it's Trigvy's a Twins fan.
It was a split.
Fan,
it was
God
a split.
Well, if you're in Western Wisconsin, we're all Twins fans. And I hate to admit this. This is going to set off a rant. I'm a closeted, but now I'm out of the closet, Timberwolves fan.
Really?
Yeah.
How are the Timberwolves?
I had to be in the closet for years because
they were so bad for years. I was gonna say, yeah, come on. But you gotta, if you're a fan, be a fan. Don't be ashamed of your fandom. Come on.
Live your true sports self.
I know. Honestly, I did years ago. It's not like the Brewers where I'm not a fan at all. But I like the Bucks.
All right, Luke Mathers, our executive producer. Thanks for joining us for some tangents. We'll see you next week. We'll be back in the studio next week then. Stay tuned for Hour 2. We have Melissa Kay from WFHR with us. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on location in Stevens Point.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Tune in Thursday for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got congressional candidate Dr. Kristen Lierley, New Marquette University Law School polling Charles Franklin. Tune in.
Earl Ingram.
Let's talk a little bit about what public education did
to move this nation forward and continues to do, even though it's under assault.
The one place where we get to live out and practice what it means to be a citizen in a democratic institution. The attacks on public education are really attacks on democracy.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. For the first time since Israeli airstrikes killed seven humanitarian